At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live right here on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday night. It is a deadline Tuesday. And help us talk a little bit about what happened and maybe more specifically, what did not happen. It's a good buddy of mine, George Kurtz. George, good to talk to you here. We've also got Yankees-Phils tied 1-1 right now.
Yeah, we do, right? You and I are big Yankee fans, right? And you know what? Did the Yankees pull a little bait and switch on us, Kev? I mean, you acquire Chisholm. We all get excited here. All right, here we go here. Oh, Flaherty's coming, right? Oh, at this time, yes, we all thought Flaherty's coming. No. You know, we're going to trade Cortez, we're going to trade Verdugo. What are the Yankees going to do today? Nothing. I mean, okay, they got Mark Leiter, yippee-yay here. I mean, does Cashman really believe, especially after the injury news about Gerrit Cole today, that Cole, Rodon, Stroman, Cortez, and Gill is enough to get you through the playoffs here? Cashman really believe that?
I don't know, George. I don't know, because a part of me says yes, since he didn't make a move. And a part of me says no, since I guess he tried to make a move. It's all a little bit confusing, and I don't think it's a bad place to start, George, because one of the predominant storylines in this deadline is probably as much what didn't happen as what did. The fact that Flaherty, in terms of game-changing starters, was, and that might be generous to Jack Flaherty, is the only one that was moved. Crochet not moved. Blake Snell not moved. I think Tariq Skubal was a complete pipe dream. I don't think that was ever happening. But were you surprised that Snell and Crochet also ended up standing pat with their current teams?
Crochet, no. Because Edison, those comments he made last week, they had to tick some people off, right? And so, okay, I'm crossing this guy right off the list now. He wants a guaranteed contract right now, or he's not going to pitch in the playoffs. You know, that's going to rub people the wrong way here. Whether he meant it or not, who knows? Maybe there'd be an innings limit anyway where he wasn't going to be able to help you in October no matter what you did here. So maybe that crosses the list off. I don't think Crochet will be on the White Sox come opening day next year. I think he does get traded, but now it's in the offseason here. Was definitely surprised, that Blake Snell. I mean, if you're going to trade Soler, you made a couple other minor deals here. You might as well trade Blake Snell, too. He's pitching very well all of a sudden. Once you traded Jorge Soler, you were saying, okay, we're done this season. I know they're only, four games out of a playoff spot here, but you don't trade who is arguably your best hitter and then tell me you're going for it. All right, doesn't make any sense here. All right, then once again, Snell has a player option next year, so he might not be back with you anyway. So you get what you can for him, but they did not. The prices were outrageous, and we did see that. And as a Yankee fan, we may be mad at Cashman, but we know, I mean, what Miami got for Scott today was like, are you kidding me? When did this guy become Mariano Rivera, Dennis Eckersley, and Raleigh Fingers all rolled into one? All right, I mean, it was just unreal here. So I think that played a part in it as well. The prices were just enormous. Like you said, I don't think Scuba was ever moving, by the way. I think they were – I applaud the Tigers. Do your due diligence. No one's untradeable. See if someone will make a nuts offer for Scuba, then you can move him. But other than that, he wasn't going anywhere. But, yeah, this stuff, the deadline, it's been a fun trade deadline. It has for the last 4 or 5 days. But today was kind of okay, what's next? We were waiting for the big thing, and it just never happened.
Yeah, it was just rounding it out pieces, if you will, right? Even Jack Flaherty is a rounded out guy for that L.A. Dodgers rotation, George, to kind of lock in on that move. When that team's fully healthy, now that's a big if, and that may never come through, and that's probably a big part of the reason they made that deal. But Jack Flaherty is what pitcher in this Dodgers rotation if they have the whole group? I mean, he might be fifth, which, again, is great for the Dodgers, but it makes the whole thing really weird.
Well, I think you brought the big word there, if. All right, this is a team that's been shell-shocked this year, right? All right, Glasnow had his injury, but he gets hurt every year. We don't know what Yamamoto is going to bring back, right, when he comes back. Is he going to be that guy that they paid $300 million for? Is he going to be okay? Is he going to be a game one starter, game three? I don't think the Dodgers know, right? How can they? Kershaw, okay, you had a good first start. Let's see if you can continue here. Or you're going to have your injury that you get every year. I know that's over a full regular season. He's only pitching for a couple of months here. Walker Buehler. You know, Kev, I wonder if he's that guy. You know, not everyone comes back from Tommy John right away and is perfect. And I wonder if he's just going to need a complete offseason before he becomes Walker Buehler. He pitched in the minor league game the other day. He got wrecked. All right, he's been getting wrecked really, you know, pretty consistently here. I just don't know if Walker Buehler is going to be Walker Buehler here. So I agree with you. If everything works out great, Mookie Betts comes back, Max Muncy comes back. And by the way, all these moves the Dodgers made in the infield make me think Max Muncy ain't coming back no time soon. All right, it's already been incredibly long for a guy who was originally day-to-day. He's now been out a couple of months here. He's month-to-month, it seems like, here. But they've got a lot of injuries to overcome. And remember, even Mookie Betts, I always worry about a batter. He gets a hand injury, wrist injury. Does he have the same strength in those wrist hands when he comes back? Those are tools to a trade, man. Maybe he's not going to be Mookie Betts when he comes back either.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's funny. Sometimes the hitting injuries don't resonate with me as much because legitimately, like, they had a full postseason rotation unavailable like 2 weeks ago, right? So that was kind of just such a jarring thing. And that's why I would, in no way is it knocking them getting Jack Flaherty. It also keeps Jack Flaherty off of any other contender, right? Which, you know, maybe the Tigers would have been willing to part for less just to ensure a deal got done, because if you're Detroit, why do you have one of the best, you know, 1-2s in baseball? There's really no point in that, so they make them. But again, that's also why, George, to circle, I know we're bouncing back here, but it was a wild deadline. Like, why do the Giants have arguably a top three 1-2 in baseball in Blake Snell and Logan Webb, and just nothing comes of it, right? Like, and they traded for Mark Kahn. I'm like, did they forget what was going on today? Did they forget they traded Soler last night? Like, I can't figure out what the San Francisco Giants were doing.
Well, what's the old saying? Baking your cake and eating it too. That's what they were doing. You were trading away and then adding little pieces here. I mean, I know Jeff Passan and guys like that was trying to say, well, the Giants aren't trading out. All right, the Soler thing was more of a salary thing. Okay, that's fine. Even if it was a salary thing, but then you were trading out. All right, you can't have it both ways. You traded your best hitter on a Giants team that, let's face it, has problems hitting. All right, Ramos has come up and been like a godsend for that team. You really have three hitters there, right? You have Ramos, you had Soler, and you had, Chapman's done some damage as well of late. But that's it. You don't have much else there. You're trading Soler, which I get it. You weren't going to win the World Series this year. You want to get rid of the salary? Fine. Do it. But then, you know, go full tilt into it. Don't, okay, we'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of this.
Little freeze there for our guy, George Kurtz, probably just so stunned by the San Francisco Giants standing pat and doing it too. You know, and he touched on something that we saw be a conversation here at the deadline of teams doing both. Teams just make deals, man. You know, baseball's all about making deals. You can be a buyer and a seller. I don't want to be mean. Right, I don't want to be mean. Well, what are you talking about? Right? Look, I'm not going to act like I am a baseball savant who's known this sport for 50 years. Followed enough trade deadlines to know that there's buyers and sellers. Not, oh, we all just make a bunch of trades and we hope we win the deal. And that's just not a normal thing, right? Again, I'm not saying teams can't do it, but can we, I don't know, there was a little, for my liking, George, there was some high and mighty behavior today from some of the baseball media. There was the you don't know ball tweet about the Angels prospects they got back. Guess what, pal? You're lying to yourself, because I've seen every George, we can get into this in a moment, too. George is going to stick around. I don't want to cut George short. George, a Yankee fan. You know how many can't-miss prospects the Yanks have? A lot of them. You know how many have missed? A lot of them. Not a lot of Aaron Judges in that farm system. I'll tell you right now, because I'm on the extreme end of it. Jason Dominguez, right? Supposed to make 100 All-Star games. I'd have traded him. I don't care. I don't let somebody else be disappointed. Instead, there's a chance maybe he ends up like Judge, or he could end up like Glaber, Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar, Gary Sanchez. You want me to keep going? I can. We're just hitting a break. We'll talk about it all and update the baseball board next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions here. Nationals propaganda behind the scenes. Par for the course here on game time decisions. Kevin Walsh with you, joined by George Kurtz. I did leave this at the break, so I'll let George touch on it. Maybe I'm being harsh, George, but and I don't think it's a Yankees-only thing where everybody thinks all these prospects are going to be miraculous, and then that ends up not being the case. I think we do this all the time. Like, I understand you have to assign value to the prospects, right? But I think very consistently they are overvalued. And it happens to me every single trade deadline.
Oh, you'll get no argument from me. I think you're 1,000% correct. All right. I think teams do this on purpose. It's the PR machine at work. All right. Every prospect is going to be the next Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, Ty Cobb, all rolled into one. All right, it's just the way it is. And the Yankees are, I think, are some of the best teams at that. You already listed, what, a half dozen ex-Yankees, by the way, that never really amounted to the player that they were supposed to be here. And who's the next big Yankee guy now? It's Jason Dominguez, who will be called up probably within the next 10 days. And then it's going to be Spencer Jones, right, who's the left-handed Aaron Judge. All right, and that's what the Yankees do here. Now, I, as a Yankee fan, I believe the reason why those two didn't go, or one of those two didn't go, is because I think Cashman knows that there's a good chance they're not re-signing Soto. You know, or at least there's a chance they're not re-signing Soto, so he's protecting himself. This way he has outfielders next year to play with Judge. Remember, Verdugo's a free agent, Stanton's a DA. So literally right now, it's literally Judge and nobody else out there if they can't re-sign Soto here. I want them to re-sign Soto, but I have my doubts that Steinbrenner is going to pay $550 million here. But that's what teams do. It's why, like I told you during the break, you have to appreciate what A.J. Preller of the San Diego Padres did. He's traded everybody. All right, he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. All right, he's traded everybody to get Soto, right? And then when he ends up trading Soto away, gets more prospects back, and trades everybody that he thinks he can get away with to resupply his team for this year. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you that I think there's some real life in here, Kevin. I think part of the reason why Preller did this is because, well, if my team doesn't do well this year, I'm gone. I'm going to get fired. So what do I care? You know, I don't care if prospect, my third best prospect is playing next year or not. I'm not going to be here. So I think there was some of that as well. But Preller's done this throughout, and not just this year, throughout his career as GM. He trades his prospects. He'd rather have somebody who he knows can play, right? An established player, rather than somebody who might be able to play 2-3 years from now. Might be better, might not be. He's taking the definite.
Yeah, and look, that's where things can be dangerous, right? When a guy's like, listen, this isn't my car, I'm driving anyway. You know, that's, things can get a little bit reckless there. Do you feel, and this, I think deadlines are fun. Like, I think the baseball deadline has actually routinely, or at least for a long time, was the best at delivering deals, right? Relative to the NFL or the NBA. You could speak better to how the NHL deadline kind of usually checks in. I do think that the expanded format of the postseason cost us, you know, more explosive deadlines than what we're used to in the past?
Yes. I mean, just by mathematics alone, you have more teams involved. How many teams are within 3-4 games of the wild card, the National League? 9? That doesn't even count the division leaders. That's 12? So now you have, what, 3 teams that are theoretically out of it. They have no chance, right? So those are your dealers there. And you'll have a couple of surprise teams that will deal teams away. So, yes, it's a yin-yang, right? Okay, more teams playing, have something to play for, good for the fans, but we don't get the deadline deals that we'd like because of that, because more teams are involved here. The NHL, by the way, NHL, NBA, and MLB are generally all good for deadlines, right? They all. NFL, it's probably the one thing they don't do well, right? One thing they don't do well is the deadline. They're getting better at it. All right, they're trying to make it a little later in the season, get things happening. But we also understand the NFL, you know, you got to know the system. It's a little harder to come in there and make, for a player who's not on the team, who doesn't know the coach, to make an impact. I get that there. I thought the Major League Baseball deadline was fun. I didn't think it was great. All right, we didn't get the big mega deals we were hoping for, and maybe they weren't out there to be made no matter what, but it was entertaining for the last 4 or 5 days. So it is what it is. As a Yankee fan, I'm disappointed. I said the bait and switch. Love the Jazz Chisholm home deal, although I said it many times. I wondered if this was a deal more for 25 and 26. When they get, they get a center field if they need, or they get a second baseman to protect Torres. I was wondering if it was more of a future deal than for this season. And now to see Cashman not do anything today, or not do much today, I'm starting to think that's all the Jazz deal was more of a future deal, not for this year.
Which is, I don't know how to handle that then, right? Because in one way, it's smart to be proactive, and I'm very happy to see Jazz Chisholm just as a Yankee fan here, because George can speak to this. He's not a typical Yankee, which is great. Like all the stuff, like all the reasons why, I know at least, you know, there's a lot of fans out there that are fans of the Yankees. None of that applies to me. And Jazz Chisholm goes against that, which is great. I want him to bat flip home runs when they're losing by 7 runs, quite frankly. I want him to keep stealing bases on his own when they're up by 9, right? So that's great for me. But also, the Yankees just continuously doing this like, we don't really need to win a World Series. 95 games, one postseason series. Like, that's just an odd spot to be in. It's an odd spot to complain about, but it is odd. George, let me ask you this quickly, because you did tell me this kind of during the break. You think that Soto actually ends up not with the Yankees at the end of this season?
I want him to own the Yankees. Let me say that straight. I want him to stay here. And I don't care how much they have to pay him. Hal is not George. All right? He is not his father. He doesn't look at things the same way. I think Cohen is going to make a monster offer. And I think Hal's going to use that as an excuse to say to the Yankee fans, to say to you and I, why, listen, he offered up $625 million. I thought that was nuts. That would hurt us, you know. He doesn't think you need $300 million payroll to win. You think he wants to pay Soto double that? I just don't. I don't think he wants to pay Soto double what Judge is making. So, no, I don't think he's going to end up with the – I want him to. And I'm not saying it's a definite, by the way. But if I had to put it, the odds, I'd probably put 60-40 that he's not with the Yankees next year. I think it's only the Yankees or Mets, by the way. I don't think there's anybody else. You know, I don't think he's not going with the Dodgers. They're not spending another $600 million. You know, I think it's either the Yankees or the Mets. Phillies aren't going to spend that money. They don't really need him. Too many other high-priced contracts. I don't see Boston getting involved. So I think it's going to be still in New York, but unfortunately, I think it's going to be in Queens.
Man, he ends up with the Mets. That's going to be real funny. I'm going to be real mean to Yankee fans, despite being a Yankee fan, because that is how I am when it comes to this organization. George, you have an extra minute? I might want to get some Cowboys questions out of you. Fantastic.
Oh, good.
George, you can
more
always
fun.
Count on. Set him up to knock him down. We'll do it next here, Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live right here on Sports Grid. A base knock with a man on from Rafael Devers, but Yoshida does not have the wheels to score, which would have hit an RBI prop. That's all right. That's baseball. We'll live and we'll learn. Let's talk some football here before we let George get out of the way. And before we talk Cowboys, George, look, we just saw a wide receiver get paid. It is possible. DJ, I can't help myself. DJ Moore gets a deal with the Chicago Bears. We heard Caleb Williams, and none of the starters are going to play in the Hall of Fame game. Have you kind of started to shape your opinion and expectations of this Bears team for the upcoming season?
Well, as always, it'll be, how fast can Caleb Williams become that quarterback? Does it take him half a season, three quarters of a season, a year? They've really revamped the offense. You have to like what they've done, right? I'm excited for the Bears. They've been an also-ran team for a long time now, and now they might have the best quarterback. I mean, theoretically, this should be the best quarterback in their history, all right? So, yes, I'm looking forward to what the Bears. That being said, it's a rough, rough division, right? Green Bay, good team, all right? Detroit, maybe the Super Bowl favorite out of the NFC. I don't think so. Probably San Fran for me. But still, they're right there, and they probably should have been in the Super Bowl last year. Tough division. This might be more of a learning year for the Bears. I think we're going to find out more from the Bears next year. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year, but I feel be, you know, that 7-win team somewhere around there. But next year is where I expect to make the bigger leap.
Yeah, I think it's on the board this year, right? I mean, it's definitely an upgrade. I think one of the big questions is not Caleb, but it's Matt Eberflus, and is what he got out of that defense in the second half of the year real? Because that was a big turning point for that Bears team, is all of a sudden that defense looked fantastic. I was alluding to, of course, the Dallas Cowboys with George here, and look, he knows the Cowboys very well. George, the amount of odd things Dallas has going on is even odd for Dallas, right? Like, we listen, Cowboys and headlines, they go hand in hand, but the Dak situation, I'm trying to even come up with a comparable one, and I can't necessarily do it. And then we've got this situation. You know, we know at some point Micah Parsons is going to have to get paid, and it can't be super encouraging for him watching them not figure out what to do with CeeDee Lamb. What do you make of everything going on with Dallas right now?
Strange. All right. We'll start with Dak. All right. And listen, you know, Kev, I'm not a Dak guy. I'm not. He's a good quarterback, but we've seen what Dak can do. All right. Yes, he'll beat up on the division. He'll beat up on lesser teams. But he folds in bigger games, right? He just does. The numbers all tell you that. We've all seen the playoffs the past 3 years, all right? This is not news. I shouldn't be breaking this to anybody. That being said, if you don't sign Dak, Kev, can you throw a football? You want to wear a star on the helmet? Who's quarterbacking for the Cowboys? They literally have nobody got quarterback next year. They're all three quarterbacks, Dak, Cooper Rush, and Trey Lance. They're all done this year. So who's quarterbacking next year? And as much as I'm on the Cowboy under this year, I was 10.5 originally. I think it's 9.5 now. So a lot of people are on the under here. They're not going to be a 3-4 win team. So you're not getting a top pick here. They're probably going to have around 8-9 wins. Going to put you somewhere in the teens. You're not getting a top quarterback next year. So I don't know what the hell they're doing. Even though Stephen Jones keeps saying, oh, yeah, we're talking about it. We had good conversations. What the hell does that mean? All right. So I don't know what's going on with Dak. CeeDee Lamb is just, it's ridiculous. You have the parameters of a deal. All right, Jefferson got done. It doesn't matter if Jefferson's better than CeeDee Lamb. None of this matters. Anyone think that Love or Tua is better than Patrick Mahomes? No, but they were the latest free agents. CeeDee's going to get more than JJ. All right, so give him $36 million and let's get this wrapped up. All right, and Micah Parsons, you don't have to get him done, right? And you can sort of play one against the other, Parsons against CeeDee, because one can get the franchise. All right, so really, which guy wants to sign first for a better deal for the team? I wonder this. They're not signing any of these guys. The Cowboys spent the last 3 years the least amount of money in the NFL as far as cash. Do the Jones have a cash problem? It sounds ridiculous. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Or is he just cheap? Is he just cheap, 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 cheap? Is that what it is? All right. I'm the poker player here. Jerry Jones' definition of all in is not mine, Kevin. Not mine at all.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you're really disappointed being an Eagles fan about this.
So really, this has nothing to do with the Eagles. And I'm not sure that – I don't think Dallas will ever consider it because of, one, they are the Cowboys, and two, Jerry does have a desire to win even if he doesn't go about it incredibly. But truly, if the CeeDee Lamb situation is just so tough, trade him. Trade him. And trade Parsons too. And trade Dak too. And do the process. Because I actually think that if some team was bold enough in the NFL, it would work. Because of the value that you get still when trading guys that need deals. But that's not going to happen. Enjoy the double-digit wins, George. Enjoy the first or second round exit. And then enjoy what will be another bizarre offseason. Kurtz, great to have you. I'm sure you loved it. We'll be right back here. Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's Game Time Decisions. We're here on a Tuesday night. 4-1 Philadelphia, 4-0 Baltimore. Up on the Blue Jays right now, the selling Miami Marlins up 2-0 on the selling Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa Bay. We've got bases juiced in Cincy here going up against the Cubbies, but there are two outs. Nerfy Yerfy backers on the edge of their seat. A Nerfy in Queens with the Mets and the Twins currently at nil-nil. If you're anyone misses the soccer, 1-0 right now, Mariners up on of the Boston Red Sox. Consig, great to see you here. Padres gear on. It looks like they made, I guess, the biggest or second biggest move of the deadline. How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah, we got a lot of West Coast baseball tonight to talk about later, both here and on In Game Live. So that'll be fun. Yeah, I like what the Padres did. Listen, I like what the Orioles did. Dare I say, even like what the Pirates did a little bit. Now, there was no major deal. What was your big takeaway from today trade deadline deals?
My big takeaway was that we didn't get any superstars dealt, right? I think Jack Flaherty is solid. I'm not going to try and downplay it. I think had the Yankees made that move, that would have been exciting. I also think because it would have shown a level of aggression from the Yankees that the Dodgers consistently show. Because yes, the Dodgers show up every year being like, yeah, we better win the World Series. The Yankees show up every year like, man, that'd be nice if we could do that, which is the same attitude that 24 other teams have, which is a little ridiculous. I think in some fashion there. Yeah, so I think that, you know, no Crochet, no Louis Robert, no Vladdy Jr., no Blake Snell, right? It wasn't star-studded. Yeah. It wasn't star-studded. And no. I'll say this, as somebody who doesn't mind increasing postseason slots, definitely a negative, though, if it means we're not going to get as many sellers, because I love a good deadline. I love a good deadline with big names flying around.
True, but I think a lot of teams either looked themselves in the mirror and said, maybe, maybe not sure. We're not going to, you know, make that big splashy move. And I think a lot of other teams filled spots. You know, we need another arm out of the bullpen. I mean, the Padres move to get Rogers, I think it is, shored up their bullpen. I mean, they went from making their weakness their strength. And whether it was with a star or not, I think a couple other teams did the same thing. So it's pretty – I don't think anything moved as far as numbers go. And I don't think anything went – like I would almost say the biggest news today individually game-wise is that Cole was scratched from his start for some reason. And right? What was that?
I mean, they said fatigue. I guess, sure. Not okay. Great. I hope anybody that bet that game put the little action, you know, both starters that's tab the, on it.
Yeah.
I had initially looked at that game for an under at the 9.5. I didn't bet it once the Cole news came in. Not that I thought it meant it would go over. And it doesn't mean it's still going to go over, but that changes things. Yeah, you're right. You know, that... Again, like, is that the biggest thing that happened on MLB trade deadline day, that Gerrit Cole didn't make a start?
Kansas City made a couple moves that I think if you're a Kansas City Royal fan or you're holding the Kansas City Royals to make the playoffs, I think you're feeling pretty good about it. The San Diego moves showed me that I think, obviously, the Giants are sellers. The Diamondbacks are lurking. An unbelievable comeback win again last night. They didn't make any big splashy moves, but trying to figure out how many teams are coming out of the playoffs. Like the Mets did okay today. Nothing major, but the Mets are around. The National League wild card is going to be very interesting the rest of the season because I don't know. I still think the Central may only get one team, the division winner. Two from the East and one from the West, or two from the West and one from the East. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to try to sell you that they did something today. I don't know. Not crazy about it.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think, you know, just also just kind of looking at it too, right? When we say, oh, we didn't get big moves because of the expanded playoff format, if I shrunk it back realistically, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to – I don't know. How many – like, it's not like the – Cardinals would have sold. The Royals wouldn't have sold. Would Boston have been selling if we shrunk the format? Is there five back of the Yankees? I don't think so. Right?
I don't think so. I think the divisions still, I mean, so two-game series tonight, in San Diego with the Dodgers. If the Dodgers lose both, I mean, the Padres are four back. It doesn't feel like it before today. You know, I think a lot of people are going to start to pay attention to baseball starting today, where we've been, you know, I follow it every day. You're pretty dialed into it every day. The boys, you know, behind the scenes here are dialed into it every day with the play of the day and different things like that, props. But I think some new people into the market will come in and go, wow, really? Kansas City's right there? Like, they could make the playoffs? Yeah, they could. Could another team in the American League Central make the playoffs? Yes, I guess the Twins. I mean, the Guardians are.
Oh.
Right? What? What did I do? Made you think of something. What?
Well, you were saying Central, and it clicked, Pirates, right? I'm just going to throw this out there to people. We're going to go right back. But
give it to them.
At the top of the show, how many situations, National League only,
okay,
then that we're doing World Series, is Paul Skeens not favored, right? Road, team, starter. Put it away. We'll do it after the break. Do it after the break. Okay, we'll do the movement, all that. We'll do it all. Guardians, it would be really surprising if they didn't make that. I'll just tell you, on a daily basis, the Minnesota Twins are booked like they're winning the World Series. I feel like they get so much respect on every single line in SIG.
I couldn't agree more. I wonder all the time about that. Have wondered it in the past. Now, granted, going into the playoffs last season, really liked where they were, and they were able to set up the rotation right and thought they – legitimately had a shot to get to the ALCS, and they fell a little bit short. I'm not so sure now. I really am not. And then, I mean, you talk about Price today. They're playing the Mets. It's a pick'em game. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to the Mets. The Mets, really good baseball team. Most wins in July. Making moves, like, or most wins in June, a lot of wins in July. Like, they're not going away. And prior to this season, they told you the Mets weren't going to try or going to, you know, lose more games than they were going to win. They're going to be there right to the end. I'm impressed with the Mets.
I'll give you my Mets take, and I don't say this with any slander. I actually have no issue with them. The only time the Mets will bother me is when they're doing much better than the Yankees, and then Mets fans are like, we own the city. It's like, that's not how that works.
Hold on.
I think they can get in, certainly. I think they would be a fade if they get there, though.
Fair.
I'm not sure I buy Seve as the top guy in that rotation. And I know I don't buy anything behind him right now.
Big injury. Big injury with the calf, out for the rest of the season, not a part of the rotation for Senga. So like
Senga, yeah.
I mean, there's another guy.
Seve for a second.
No. But that's one of those ones that I think you have to put in the memory banks and go, yeah, they may make that push, but yes, I'm with you as of right now. Fade in the playoffs, not play on.
Yeah. Quick break. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Updated scores.
Yes.
Updated NL Cy Young odds.
Love it.
How many spots in the National League is Paul Skeens a dog? That's next right here. It's Game Time Decision.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so yesterday we saw Zach Wheeler lit up. Call it what it is. Lit up by the New York Yankees. 3 innings, 7 earned runs. And Paul Skeens, not out of this world, but still really good in a start up against the Houston Astros. Now, I know some people lost on some strikeout props, which is unfortunate, but he went 6 innings and 1 earned run with 6 strikeouts, still pitching to a 1.9 ERA. Paul Skeens now on FanDuel down to plus 155. Chris Sale sits in front of him, Dave. Only Chris Sale at plus 110.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was The two-game parlay situation where Wheeler gets beat up, another quality start. They can't score when he pitches. Man, it's like every inning, just waiting for him to just get two. We used to tell the kids with sometimes when one of our best pitchers was going, just get us three today because that's going to be enough. She's only given up two. You knew yesterday after got out of an inning with a double play where Ryan Hayes made it catch a third and threw from his rear end to second and they turned it. I was like, that's it. They got to get another run. Ended up getting a late run to tie it, three-run homer to win it. Bednar, big sweat. And Skeens, numbers got to come down, Kevin. He's got to come down. It's one of those ones again where talked about it a while ago, repeated it over and over. Now you're looking at, man, if you don't have a ticket on sale in Wheeler at this point, just to make sure that you have it locked up, lock it up. What are you waiting for?
Yeah, it's – I think the best thing is, though, again, all depending on when people got in, the dream scenario is it becomes a two-man race.
Yes.
And then if you'd like, you play Sale and you wash your hands of it. Because for me, I still don't love leaving it up to the voters, right? Because that'll be devastating. Now, I've built a little list here. I took a little bit of what was said behind the scenes of dog spots for Paul Skeens. National League only because, you know, I don't want to go too deep, right? Because again, like the then we're going World Series, right? Here's my fringe. Here's my fringe, Dave.
Okay.
All on the road. I think he's favored. There's only one spot I would suggest Paul Skeens is a home dog. We'll get to there when we get to there. Okay. At San Diego, Dylan Cease on the mound.
Okay. Yes, dog.
What do you think? Dog. Okay.
Yep.
At Cincinnati, Hunter Greene on the mound.
Personally, I'd make him a favorite. Small.
I think he would be favored. Be favored.
125. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
At Arizona, Zach Gallen has the baseball.
Pick him.
Okay.
Pick him. I mean, like, if you catch Arizona right now, the way they're scoring runs, the way they're winning games – I don't know. I mean, they just got two out of three down there. Keller was a plus money dog in a game that I thought was pick'em. Might be pick'em, might be 105, 115, somewhere in that neighborhood either way.
Okay. I did throw at the Mets with Severino there, but I think Skeens is favored in that game.
I think so. Small.
And then at Milwaukee with Freddie Peralta, who's really not been all that great this season, but he's still pedigree, and the Brewers are still a 60-plus win team.
The Brewers with Peralta got to be favored. The Pirates, that's one of their house of horrors. They had a couple big wins but there this season, but historically, no. Brewers, small.
Okay. Now, the big dogs would be the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Phillies. We'll go Braves first. I think 100% dog at Atlanta with Chris Sale on the mound.
No question.
What about with Max Fried on the mound?
Dog.
Okay. Not Ronaldo. Lopez is injured. What do you think of Ronaldo Lopez?
Close.
Doesn't have the same
pedigree. It might be picked. Might start Atlanta favored. Like -115,
and then comes
somewhere
back
in the neighborhood, and let him bet us up that way.
Do you think in Pittsburgh, Sale Skeens, Sale's favored?
No,
I don't either.
I don't.
That's not the spot for me. There's one spot. That's not the spot for me. At Zach Wheeler and Philly, I think he's a dog. Do you think he's a dog 100%. Against Aaron Nola?
Yep. Small.
I think so, too. Based on the Yanks game being pick kind of today.
Yeah.
With Garrett Cole supposed to be on the mound, I think Nola's there. Favored at home against Wheeler?
Yes. Pick him, maybe. Pick. I mean, we could go pick. We could go Phillies -115 and let him bet us, but I'd rather start the Pirates at minus and let him take the Phillies and ask why. How all of that afterward when the Pirates win that game. Yeah.
That total's got to be real low. That's 7 minus 130. Minus Easy. 130. Let him, you know what I mean? Sir. Kind of situation.
Might we're not dangle paying 6.5 in that situation. Might dangle 6.5 in that situation.
We'll do that. Remember what we did with the hockey, though, where it was just like, you play the 7, we won't pay it out. You know what I'm saying? It's land 7. It's not landing 8.
Good
right?
with that. Yeah, that's fine. Right. Yeah.
Here's what's left. The Dodgers.
Yep.
Okay. Glass now on the mound, dog.
Absolutely.
Yamamoto. Weird. With the injury stuff.
Tough. I mean, him with the injury stuff. Kershaw with the injury stuff. I don't know anybody
Kershaw
else.
Kershaw was
though.
The other one I had on the list.
Right. That's it.
I didn't put Bueller That's on the list. I didn't put Jack Flaherty on the list.
Nope. Can't. No way. Not with what he's doing. They win when he pitches.
I think slight to Yamamoto and Kershaw. I do think if the Dodgers show up in Pittsburgh and Glasnow's on the mound, the Dodgers should be favored over Paul Skeens.
100%. Agree with you 100%.
Well, that's the list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice
that's
work.
The list.
Nice work. Are we gonna talk a little bit the next segment about the Olympic basketball? I stayed up last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, watching Spain and Greece.
Yeah. I got a good one for you.
I can't wait
we
to hear.
We talked about it. The upset. Moving. We'll get to it right back here on Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so we're here. It's Game Time Decisions. My man Consig was locking into some Olympic basketball. And, man, I'm glad. Patience. It worked out. What am I referring to? I'm referring to the most points, kind of where money needed to be placed. The Giannis number was up to 30.5. And sometimes, you know, again, it's all about how much you want to pay attention to it, right? And I know people right now are spread thin. Because they're doing all the Olympics. I know people are not paying that much of the attention. You guys know where I am, right? The Olympic basketball. I'm well aware that Giannis' points prop opened up. Now, it was a huge mistake, but still, at 16.5 against Canada. So 30.5 against Spain, we've done a lot now. So that under ended up working out. A Giannis under, right? Okay, that could open up the field. The real reality is, and Dave, this is what you and I talked about, what if he loses? He lost. Giannis is now supposed to only play 3 games. The second option's SGA. I'm not sure he's going to be favored to lead his team in scoring when they reopen those numbers. Because RJ Barrett's up 10 on him. It's a gap that can be closed.
Right.
I'm just saying that's going to be close to even both ways. It really is.
Okay.
So I think you're now looking at a scenario. I don't know what the books are really going to do here. I don't have a really good gauge whatsoever as to what those updated numbers are going to look like for total points at the Olympics. Now, tomorrow, they don't open them until tomorrow's games are finished. It's going to matter a lot what LeBron and Durant do.
Right. So we don't have any worry about the U.S. playing the maximum number of games. We only worry there is who gets the maximum number of minutes with the ball and the ability to score. Because which one of them, you know, LeBron may pass a little bit more. I don't know. I mean, what I saw last night was a fun, entertaining, 3-point dominant game. I would love to have a guy on one of those teams if I knew he was going to play more games. And I don't know. I mean, you're U.S. guys. Which one do you favor?
LeBron is the slight favorite. And let me say, again, I know people don't think that. I don't really care, whatever. I'm very honest with LeBron stuff. He wants MVP of this team. He wants this to be his basketball team. It is his basketball team. He doesn't need to lead them in scoring in order to win MVP. 9 assists, 7 rebounds. I mean, he nearly led this team in every statistical category in game one. He was 2 points off Durant and a rebound off AD, and obviously he led them in assists. LeBron is going to finish top 5 in total points, rebounds, and assists at this tournament. So my point is he doesn't have to lead them in assists. But I don't know what Durant's probably going into the starting lineup, Dave. I don't know if that helps his workload.
Right.
So it gets interesting then.
Oof.
I think Steph still has the highest single game ceiling.
Ceiling. I might, yes.
He's 12-1 for 25 tomorrow. I'm interested.
Is he fine? I mean, that was just the, you know, they banged knees. He's health wise, he's fine, right? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Does the Tatum not play in no minutes mess up the rotation because he has to play extra minutes in this game?
Well, it's a great question, right? Like, how many minutes does Tatum need to play in order for everybody to be happy? And whose minutes are getting cut? Little Drew, little Booker, little Derek White. Durant only played 17. Like, they're not cutting the Durant minutes. They're upping the Durant minutes.
Correct.
And by the way, and listen, he's been bad. Embiid only played 11. Like, they probably would want to get him a little more minutes as well.
Less.
So it's going to be a fun one. I haven't placed anything yet. I'll tell people this and make sure you're with Dave in game live tonight. The early look, though, is going back to AD, who dominates small teams. They dropped his points rebounds number to 19.5. He's plus 260 for the double-double. I think AD is still interesting in those markets, and then I'll probably chase that top of ceiling with Steph. Those are some good numbers there, Dave. We'll have to have them send that over to you.
Any yes, sir.
NBA player scored 35, 14-1.
Wow.
Whole tournament.
Oh, whole tournament. I thought you meant the next game. I would bet the yes. Somebody's going to light it up. Listen, I got to go. Close it out strong. You're the best. I'll see you later.
My man. All right. We'll see you guys in a week. I'm going to San Diego.